stupid. Everybody's so stupid.
Good thing about doing comedy in Russia, you have captured audience.
You're stupid. Everybody's so stupid.
Comedy History 101.
Saturday's the place when Willie Nelson guest stars, along with John Ritter on Pryor's Place.
Have a good trip, boy!
The fun happens Saturday.
Oh, okay.
Okay, that was quick. All right, well, fair enough.
Oh, boy. I watched three episodes of Pryor's Place. It was pretty painful. So what you just heard there was a promo for the 1984 children's show Pryor's Place, which was on CBS and starred Richard Pryor. And, of course, you've tuned into another episode of
Comedy History 101.
Where we school you in comedy. I, of course, am Harmon Leon, and with me, as always, Scott Colonico. How are you, Scott? I don't know why I'm screaming that.
Let's get on down to Pryor's Place. Whoa!
So I did not know this even existed until when do we learn that there was a children's show called Pryor's Place that starred Richard Pryor?
And that was we were researching our comebacks episode, and I think one of us stumbled over it in Wikipedia or something, and then thanks to the internet, the beauty that is the internet, is we found episodes of Pryor's Place on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. So give you a little rundown. So the year 1984. The network, CBS. The star, Richard Pryor. So Pryor's Place is kind of like a Sesame Street, except with Richard Pryor. And instead of having Muppets, the show was created by Sid and Marty Krofft, who did, what did they do, like Land of the Lost?
Land of the Lost, Sigmund of the Sea Monsters, H.R. Puff and stuff. I could go on, but it's kind of scary. But yeah, they kind of... And the weird, we could get into them later. We'll come back to it. You go ahead and... I have some information about Sid and Marty Harmon. If you go ahead and continue on, please.
Yeah, so again, I'd never even heard of this show. And then we came across it. And the year's 1984. This is 2 years after Richard Pryor filmed his legendary concert film, Richard Pryor Live on the Sunset Strip, which we talked about in two episodes ago here on Comedy History 101.
And you know something I noticed? When you run down the street on fire, people will move out of your way.
And just a mere 4 years after he lit himself on fire while freebasing cocaine and was severely burned over like about three-fourths of his body. As the legend goes, he was burned over that? I think that could be...
No. Remember we talked about this in the episode where, like, you know, did he burn himself freebasing or did he light himself on fire on purpose?
I think the conclusion was, and this was actually two episodes ago on Richard Pryor's comeback, is that he and a friend were watching a documentary on that Vietnamese monk who lit himself on fire. And I think the consensus of his friend was that he thought Richard Pryor's was in such a crack-induced what do you call a crack-induced...
coma, like a...
Yeah, yeah.
Coma,
right? Yeah, so he was just like on so much crack and delusional from the drug that he tried to emulate the monk.
Yeah, yeah. And he poured 151 on himself, I think.
Yeah, so basically, let's smash cut 4 years from himself running down the streets of the valley in L.A. on fire to... doing this children's show, which was on CBS Saturday mornings, called Pryor's Place, created by Sid and Marty Krofft.
Whoa, let's get on over to Pryor's Place.
Yeah, I mean, this is like right kind of after the, say, what we were talking about before, after the Sunset Strip, when he was like really, really hot, and he'd just gotten some big, huge production deal, which is how he's able to like kind of start doing all these. It's like, you know, it was after Stir Crazy, after obviously after Silver Streak, after Stir Crazy, and after
the Toy.
Yeah. Yeah, now, this is before, I think this is actually, yeah, it's after The Toy, right. This is a couple years after The Toy, but he had his own production deal, so, like, Richard Pryor could do more or less whatever he wanted at this point, and so he chose to do a children's TV show.
Yep, and one thing I gotta say about it, it has a really catchy theme song, which was done by... But which was done by Ray Parker Jr., who also did the Ghostbusters theme song. And didn't Ghostbusters come out about 84? Was it around the same year?
Yes, yeah, the same year. But there's a whole, this could be a whole another podcast. But
yeah.
Do you know the whole thing about the Ghostbusters theme song?
Didn't they get sued by Huey Lewis in the news, or yes. Was it vice versa?
Yes, and it's easy. Maybe if you have some time, we could drop this in. But if you listen to Huey Lewis, I Want a New Drug, and then play it right next to Ghostbusters. And basically, from what I recall, was Huey Lewis was contracted to write the theme song for Ghostbusters, which was I Want a New Drug, and they wound up not liking it. And then Ray Parker Jr. came in and just kind of stole I Want a New Drug, and that's where
and tying that into a similar place in comedy history, there was a series of Budweiser commercials, I believe it was, where they wanted the rap group the Fat Boys to be on it, and they didn't do it for some reason. So they got Joe Piscopo, who dressed up like a fat rapper with two other fat rappers.
I remember that.
Yeah, and I do believe they got sued by the Fat Boys.
Oh, my God. I think that is actually worthy of another episode, is the Fat Boys.
The Fat Boys are people that get sued for stealing, plagiarizing.
Both.
But let's drop in a little clip here of, here's the theme to Pryor's Place.
Whoa, let's get on over to Pryor's Place. Oh, we're gonna party, so don't be late. Whoa, everyone's welcome at Pryor's Place. Oh, where we can laugh at our own mistakes. You don't have to be perfect to be a part. Just have love and plenty of heart on Pryor's Place. Whoa.
Pryor's Place will return after these messages.
Ooh, that's just, I don't know, what does that make you feel? It just...
Just not good. I mean, like, first of all, like, I am a fan of the font they use in the show title, but, like, not the way that it's used here.
I think the font is the best thing I like about that title series. You're not a fan of the font? What is that font? Do you know?
No, I am. It's different ones. I know it as Ad Lib Bold. I do like that font a lot, but I don't think it fits with
Fit with Pryor's Place? A little too heavy on the drop shadow, I think.
Yeah, it doesn't fit the volume of Pryor's Place, which I think we both kind of were thinking about the same thing, because it's very odd in that if you've never seen this show, it's like, it's Richard Pryor referring to his childhood, right?
Yeah, okay. That is a whole rabbit hole in itself.
Yeah, I mean, like,
the sequence, and then that rabbit hole is like, yeah.
We thought this was going to be quick. I don't think so.
This is going to be a two-parter for sure, if not three. So we're not even out of the title sequence yet.
Nope.
So it makes you think that Ray Parker Jr. is like a big part of this show, but he's just simply...
But just at
the beginning. We got him for the day. And he's doing a really bad job at lip-syncing.
Yeah, it's just he's just kind of there... but I have had the song stuck in my head for all day, as I'm sure people around me will attest to. But yeah, it is kind of catchy. It's a catchy little tune. And it is odd that he kind of shows up in the credits everywhere and then disappears.
Richard Pryor?
No.
Or Ray Parker Jr.?
Ray Parker Jr., yes.
Yeah, I would actually say I don't know where they I'm sure he has the star clout, but they say it stars Richard Pryor. But it actually stars the actor who plays Little Richie, which is he's playing Richard Pryor as a 10-year-old. And again, I don't even – I know what we're going to launch into on this one. So, yeah. First of all, so the premise of the show, it's 10-year-old Richard Pryor growing up in his neighborhood where – I assume it's Peoria, but it looks sort of like New York City, because it's like they're trying to be sort of like Sesame Street with the puppets and all that.
Right. Oh, God. Okay. Yeah.
But it's basically Richard Pryor. He opens the show and he closes the show, and he's very serious in the opening of the show and the lesson that we learned within the show.
Friendship is great, right? I mean, especially that kind, when you have that special friend, someone you can talk to and share everything with, and they keep your secrets. Of course, good friends, even they fall out sometimes. But that's the way friendship goes.
Yeah, I mean, he's doing his, which you know, I actually think he's pretty good when he does this serious thing, but then it's just so oddly misplaced, and especially here, when if you know anything about Richard Pryor, about how his childhood was actually kind of almost horrific. And
well, he basically grew up in a brothel where his mom was a prostitute and his grandma ran the brothel. So if this is supposed to be young Richard Pryor learning life lessons, and the life lessons are things like there's an episode on friendship where he and his best friend get in a fight. Yeah.
Don't steal basketballs.
There's a lesson like you should stay in school. But Richard Pryor grew up in a brothel.
Yeah, and he would hear women being beaten at night and just not know what that was. You know what I mean? It's just horrific. And there's actually, it's on the one, it was the first one I watched, episode I watched.
Which episode? I saw the one on Friends. I saw the one on Don't Be Dumb, written by Paul Mooney, one of his great collaborators.
Yeah, the first one I watched was To Catch a Thief, about the basketball thieving incident, and that was the one where it was beginning when Richard Pryor was kind of talking about, like, but almost being humorous in a way. It was like, oh, my dad would, if he caught you, he would give you a beating, and they would actually they had this like beating sound effect. It was very odd, especially if you know.
Oh, I didn't see that episode. Yeah, who's the special guest star on it? Because that's another thing about Pryor's Place. It has a lot of celebrity guest appearances, and we'll dive into that in a bit. But who guest starred on To Catch a Thief episode?
No, on this one, actually, there wasn't anybody on this one that I noticed. I didn't see.
They were probably there. You just didn't notice them.
I think this might have been the pilot or the first one. Maybe it was before they could afford the big stars. Yeah, other than Richard Pryor. But this one had no stars that I could recognize. The other ones, even we'll get into the stars, but I'll wait to the stars part. But yeah, this one was pretty star free.
Yeah, so one thing is just weird. So he's supposed to be young Richard Pryor, and it's sort of an ambiguous time period, but yet, you know, there it's clearly the 80s because there's like breakdancing references and all
there's a
and
lot
that.
Of breaking. With a lot of breakdancing references.
Yeah, so because the kids were really into the breakdancing in
even
the
80s. Rats. Did you see the one where the rats start breakdancing?
No, I think I missed that episode. I saw the one where it had 2D from Facts of Life was the guest star.
Yes, I saw one.
When I was a kid, I had a cousin Rita. I liked her a lot. She was much older than I, you know. She was about 16 or 17. And when you're 9, that is old. She was an old cousin. And she was very pretty. I remember this one time she came to visit us.
You know, Richie, I cannot get over how much you've grown.
That's that one too, yeah.
Yeah, that was weird because she plays his Richard Pryor, little Richard Pryor's cousin. Right. And he has a crush on his cousin, and so does his friend.
Yeah, yeah.
And Richard Pryor grew up in a brothel. And it's just like knowing the backstory, it's just kind of weird.
Yeah, the whole thing is just kind of odd to see. And then just, I mean, the whole puppet Sid and Marty Krofft thing is just good. That's a whole nother level. That's just like,
well, yeah. First, the puppets look just horrible.
Yeah, they're awful. I mean, like, even, like, if you know of Sid and Marty Krofft, and they even look worse than normal, you know? And
yeah.
Just like, yeah, those guys were just... here's an interesting trivia bit that I dug up from my notes. So, apparently, back in the 70s, Sid and Marty Krofft, they wanted to make a... there's an amusement park that opened up in Atlanta. Some real estate developers wanted to start. They offered to Sid and Marty Krofft, and so because they're from Atlanta, so they said, "Okay, yeah, right. We'll start this amusement park here, right?" Which immediately went bust after like 6 months. So this building sat empty until it was bought by this little-known cable organization called CNN.
Ah, that's kind of interesting. What was the Sid and Marty Krofft amusement park called?
I can't remember. I had it on my notes. My notes got lost, but we can find it. We'll look it up. But yeah, they had their own amusement park. I think it's called it was like Sid and Marty Krofft's World of Adventure or something, like something like that. Yeah.
Ah, nice to know.
But the other weird thing about them, which I didn't realize, is that everything they did always seemed a little off. It's because they were Canadian.
Ah, that explains it. Yeah, yes. That explains. In fact, it explains all Canadians.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So, anyways, they only made it only lasted one season. Prior's Place, surprise. It aired at 11:30 a.m., 10:30 Eastern on Saturday mornings. They just made 13 episodes, or is that too many episodes?
I don't know, but the odd thing is they were nominated for like 10 or 11 Emmys.
No. I think it was like Children's Award, Children TV
Awards.
Well,
no, dude. No, that was...
Really?
I beg to differ, yeah. That was from what I discovered in my... We can double check with the Comedy History Encyclopedia, the Comedy History...
Yeah, just surprisingly, not a lot on Pryor's Place on the internet. Even the IMDb page, when you go to the trivia tab, it just said, this aired in 1984. That was the only trivia about it.
So the park was called the World of Sid and Marty Krofft, and it was an entirely indoor park in the Omni International Complex in Atlanta. Yeah, and that's where CNN wound up taking over.
Yeah, so that's good to know. Another good thing to know is some of the guest stars on Pryor's Place. Note that segue. So he actually had, I saw the episode where Lily Tomlin's on it. Robin Williams made an appearance. Sammy Davis Jr. Shirley Hempel.
Okay, yeah, that was one.
Karate
actually,
Kid Pat Morita, I saw that. He kind of plays, Marita, you almost think a pedophile in a video game parlor.
I was gonna bring that up, dude. Can we talk about that a little bit?
Like,
he was very...
Yeah.
Yeah.
That kind of creeped me out a little bit.
Yeah, he was a talent agent who ran the... That was in the Planet of the Dumb episode. And
yeah.
He ran the arcade where all the kids would hang out, and he was a big agent.
Okay, kids, so much for business. We gotta have some fun, right?
Yeah, some fun!
You guys are into new experiences. I got a machine back here that is a winner. And believe me, the price is right. No charge. Right this way, gang. That's it. And that's it. All get around the machine like there. You go, baby.
Yeah, it got a little bit creepy, and I was wondering on if it's going to do like a Different Strokes, a very special episode of the Bicycle Man or whatever.
Dudley,
was that
Dudley
the
Bicycle Guy?
And who was it? There was this guy from WKRP, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Gordon Jump from WKRP.
Ooh,
yeah,
yeah, yeah.
No,
I thought it was
going to
take
that
sort of turn.
No. Yes, yeah.
So,
I was ready for that.
Yeah,
but
I was worried. I was worried for the kids, but all he did was.
Yeah.
Kind of drug them in a way. They kind of went into this fantasy world.
He took them into the Planet of the Dumb. And here's the thing that was barely, at the time, not a star. But on the planet, you remember the Planet of the Dumb? You remember all the dumb people that came out to all the...
Yeah, I couldn't really recognize them because they're all in makeup. But who was that?
Oh, one of them was Tony Cox, who you might recognize from... he wasn't in...
Bad Santa.
He was in... Bad Santa. Yeah, Bad Santa. And what's the Farrelly Brothers movie? He was in Me, Myself, and Irene, I think. Yeah.
Oh, okay, right.
Yeah, yeah. So Tony Cox, a bit of a kind of a big star, but like that was before they were stars.
That's right. There you go. Yeah. So on the show, and then we'll give our general conclusions. Let's see. Richard Pryor plays three different characters that kind of pop in and out. And one that's the most prominent is Chills, the Jamaican street musician.
Or
really bad Jamaican accent.
Hey, freeze on that music and on that thing, man. What you mean, what's wrong? The music from that box intermingling with the jazz from my horn, and today Chills only want to hear jazz on this corner, okay?
Accent.
Is he Chilly or Chills?
I just sort of cut and pasted into the doc. I think it's Chills.
Okay. Thought it was Chilly, maybe? I couldn't tell, yeah.
Yeah, then he plays sort of like a homeless guy, sort of like his Mudbone character.
Kind of like Mudbone, yeah.
Yeah, and then a fortune teller.
Carlotta.
Richie, I knew you were coming.
You did?
Yes, the crystal ball knows all and sees all. Sit down, Richie. You look troubled. What's on your mind?
Yeah, so again, my takeaway of the show is it. First of all, Richard Pryor looks so unhealthy in this show. And, you know, he passed away in 1998. But this is 1984, where he was still making movies. He is so, and I tried to Google to see if he was like back on drugs during the filming of this, because he is so skinny in this.
Yeah, he's super thin. Yeah,
like very, like he didn't look this skinny when he filmed just 2 years earlier, Live on the Sunset Strip. I mean, he just looks really unhealthy in this. And this was like a year before they filmed Brewster's Millions.
Yeah.
Yes, so that was one takeaway, is like, whoa, he doesn't look good. And second, he just looks like he doesn't want to be there at all. It's like he's putting like no commitment into his characters or his monologues, and it just looks like he's just phoning this in. I mean, did you get that impression?
I don't know. I mean, I think the thing that struck me is that like his monologues are oddly weirdly, I mean, he's doing that really quiet when he gets real quiet, and he's like kind of into it, and you know, it seems like he's trying to convey this point, I thought, but yeah. He's oddly out of place, because the rest of the show, like the laugh track, like, you know, this is just like that was a Sid and Marty Krofft thing where like they would just play laugh tracks. It was just like, dude, guys, you don't need that when the cornbread's talking, you know.
Damn. Yeah.
So yeah, that was my take on it. You know, yeah, I thought it was the opposite. I thought it was he was oddly in character, and maybe
really?
I don't know. He just like was on the money. Maybe I don't know. That was my take on it. He just like to me. He just has those little wraparound parts at the beginning and the end.
He's dropping characters, but it just seems like he has no commitment to the characters whatsoever. You know what I mean? Even when he's like interacting with Lily Tomlin, and it's like he just seems like he's just like phoning it all in.
When he's doing the character parts, I agree with you. But I'm just what I'm talking about when he's being himself, when he's doing the wraparound bits, that seems to me different than when he's doing the character. Yeah, the character's just kind of dumb.
Spent a lot of time in detention. I think that's the first place I saw my name up in lights, in the detention room. I said, Richard Pryor, appearing here all this month. King of detention. My friend.
Like Chilly. Well, I'm telling your fortune.
But then I was just like, again, I was trying to see, was he back on drugs during this year? Because, like, first of all, it just looks like he's phony, and second of all, he just looks so skinny on camera. He's just like rail thin, and he didn't look that way like 2 years ago. And it wasn't, you know, he was still making movies, you know, for another, you know, like 15 years after that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I don't know how much surgery they had to do too, because he just got a weird, like, just because like his it's all just kind of very almost plastic looking, you know.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Because like you were saying, like he did get burned quite a bit.
So which your, unless you have anything else. Oh, so anyways, we talked about this. Yeah. So Paul Mooney wrote one episode, and it's, you know, Paul Mooney. We've talked about this on our episode about great comedy comebacks. Was Richard Pryor's main collaborator. Like, he wrote a lot of material with Richard Pryor. I heard, like, on a WTF, like, maybe largely wrote a lot of it on his own as well. Okay. Of Richard Pryor's material. But in any sense, he was like a main, Richard Pryor's main collaborator on material, and wrote the wrote an episode of this, and it's not good. Yeah, it was right before, he also wrote the script for Brewster's Millions.
Yeah, he wrote the cousin episode, the girl episode.
Yeah, and also he was a writer on In Living Color. So.
Yeah, this is before In Living Color, but yeah, he was a big guy. Yeah, he'd done a lot of stuff, and one of his collaborators, and he's like one of those unknown faces behind comedy.
Yeah, I mean, he popped up on the Chappelle Show and things like that, but that he's not by far a household name.
Yeah, definitely. He's one of those guys that's, oh, he's that guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's always kind of been there. Great writer, funny guy. So it's kind of interesting to see him pop up here.
Well, he's just Pryor's collaborator, and it was probably around the time they were working on Brewster's Millions, because that came out in 85, and this was 84, so...
Yeah, oh, definitely.
It looked like that script probably didn't take that long.
No, here's the funny thing. I was just reading about this, about Brewster. Yeah. So apparently the movie that's based on had been redone. it was based on a 1902 novel. And it had been done... Yeah, by that point it had been redone by like 10 times. By 1985, there had been about 10 different screenplays of the same thing, same exact.
Was the premise he had to spend like $1 million in a day or something like that?
The deal was, he either had to spend $1 million up front or spend $30 million within 30 days.
Oh, right, yeah. That seems like kind of one of those 19 Depression era comedies where you're kind of wanting to some escapism, then you watch a movie about a rich guy trying to give away all his money.
But the novel's like 30 years before the Depression. It's like even before that. Back old timey days. Give me a cigar. I'm gonna, you know, take the Titanic across the ocean, blah blah blah.
Yeah. Like a guy who looks like the guy from Monopoly. Probably. It would be on the book cover. So what's your takeaway on this unknown, we call it a classic? I think it's just an unknown show, Pryor's Place.
It's just an interesting little gem that kind of pops up, but thanks to YouTube. It's one of those things that have been lost to time without YouTube. So it's kind of cool to see it. That's what I would say, and it was interesting to see how much power money will get you when you have a production deal. You know, even Richard Pryor will make his own TV show for kids. Whoa, let's get on over to
Pryor's Place. My takeaway is it's almost unwatchable.
I don't even think kids would like this. Yeah,
no. What's that? I don't think if you're a Richard Pryor fan, and it's not like, okay, I'm a fan of this band, so I'm gonna see this sort of side band project they do, you know, stripped down and just sort of a different musical style because I like this musician so much.
Yeah, no.
I think it's just even the most hardened Richard Pryor fan, and I'm a pretty huge fan of, you know, Richard Pryor, the stand-up comedian. And I think even just the hardened Richard Pryor fan would not enjoy this show.
No, this is just kind of sad to watch on that level.
And if I was a kid, I would not enjoy the show.
Yes, no. And that's the thing. If you're a kid, you don't want to see talking cornbread muffins and what's the other one, the old Jewish rumple.
Yeah, but they give, you know, ethnic accents to all these talking food puppets, and they didn't look like, but why did they have the ethnic accents then?
I think that was a joke, is that the old Jewish guy was rye, and then there was a German one. I think it was Pumpernickel. Okay. Yeah, and then there's like French bread, of course. So
yeah.
Yeah.
So unless you have anything else, I think we pretty darn well covered the 1984 children's TV show Pryor's Place. Whoa, let's get on over to
Pryor's Place.
Drop in another clip of the theme song.
Yeah, no, I think we've done it. I think we've put the cork in that.
Yeah, so, and with that, it's time to plug away. Scott, what do you have to plug?
Hey, Harmon, thanks for that. Well, mostly, I just got a couple of films coming out. So I've got a short film premiering at the Hlava Film Festival in the Czech Republic in October, in a couple of weeks. And then I have another one premiering at the Winterthur Film Festival in Switzerland in November. So that should be pretty exciting.
Nice, very nice. And we just want to thank you guys for tuning in. And we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You're stupid. Everybody's so stupid.
Good thing about doing comedy in Russia, you have captured audience.
You're stupid. Everybody's so stupid.
Comedy History 101.